Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this very first live Iron Sharpens Iron Radio episode of 2024. That's January 2nd, 2024, and I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest in the program today who has a fascinating testimony to tell us. He's also one of the upcoming speakers at the Open Air Theology Conference in Tullahoma, Tennessee, this February. We'll be giving you more details about that as well. I'm speaking of Braden Patterson, who's pastor of Valley Baptist Church, a Reformed Baptist congregation in Hagerman, Idaho. He is a seminary student at Reformed Baptist Seminary, an open-air evangelist, a tobacco pipe maker with Donor Oak Company. And he's also a husband and father of three. Today he's going to be addressing the theme, From Works Righteousness and Striving to Become a God, to Save by Grace Alone by the One True God, one pastor's story of his conversion out of Mormonism and salvation in the one true Jesus Christ. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Braden Patterson.
Brother Chris, it's such a blessing to be a part of the show today. I'm truly thankful to God and the way that he has been glorified in the advancement of his kingdom through this ministry that you perform with Iron Sharpening Iron. It's a true blessing to be here today.
Amen. And why don't you tell our listeners first and foremost about the fine congregation where you pastor, Valley Baptist Church in Hagerman, Idaho. And I don't know if I'm mispronouncing it. Is it Hagerman or Hagerman?
Hagerman. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a small, wonderful Baptist church. I've been pastoring here now for a little while, and it's been a blessing just to preach Christ crucified every single week, trying to just refine and reform God's church here, his bride here in Hagerman, Idaho, a southern Idaho church congregation, just to become more and more biblical and more seeking, desiring and exalting Christ. It's been truly a blessing to be here.
Praise God. And tell us a little bit more about the church. I know that I've already mentioned that you're a Reformed Baptist church.
Yeah.
Is it a confessional church? Or I know that some Reformed Baptist churches aren't officially confessional. Tell us about your congregation.
Yeah, that is a great question. So I'm hoping to move more and more towards the 1689 as a church. Right now, we are currently going through the beginning steps of a Bible study. In fact, I really appreciated your recent show with Mark Chansky and just hearing him with the Reformed Baptist Network. That is Yes. one of the things that we are currently considering. We have we were a part of the SBC. However, we were one of the churches that left just because of their lacking of firm stances on the things that are very clear in God's word. And so we decided to leave that convention to seek something else out. And that is the state that we're in right now. The pastor before myself was also trying to do a very similar work here. And so just through weekly preaching of God's word, we've been becoming more and more confessional as time has come. So in our documents, as one would expect, we do have the Baptist Faith and Message of 2000. Hopefully, though, one day it will have the language of 1689 in it. But since pastoring here, I've helped disciple, just through the mercy of God, another elder here, a co-elder with me here at Valley Baptist. His name's Rick. And he and I are both very firm holders of the 1689. And so just through God's providence and through the care of the local bride, we are hoping to lead more and more confessional as time comes. But yeah, our weekly church service is at the Lord's Day Sunday at 11 a.m. in the morning. And if anybody's in this area, Southern Idaho, and is looking, like you said, for a solid church, I would definitely invite them to come and check us out. It would be a blessing to fellowship and to worship our triune God with one another.
And if anybody wants more details about this fine church, Hagerman Valley Baptist Church, go to HagermanValleyBaptist.org, HagermanValleyBaptist.org, and you can find out all the details that you need. And just out of curiosity, I think I've read two different names. Is it Valley Baptist Church in Hagerman or Hagerman Valley Baptist Church?
That is a great question. So right now, our name is technically Valley Baptist Church. Just in the midst of different decisions that were made, there are different names proposed that were being put online. A sure way to figure out where we would be at is to look us up on Facebook, and that would be Valley Baptist Church in Hagerman, Idaho. And then, of course, you should see several sermons from myself in there. And maybe that'd even be a good resource for you to go and hear what a typical Sunday would sound like. Right now, we're preaching through the book of Job. This last Sunday, we did a topical message on communion. And this upcoming Sunday, we are doing a baptism here at our church. And so we're doing another topical message on baptism itself, just as the sign of the new covenant, being a Reformed Baptist church and looking at things very covenantally. But yeah, that would probably be the best way to find a little bit more out about our church is through our Facebook page.
Praise God. Well, as the theme that we already announced is indicating, you were, for a period of time in your life, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormons. And there are very important reasons why evangelicals have regarded that organization as a cult. It is in many ways a religion that is more 180 degrees opposite to genuine biblical Christianity than any other religion, especially any other religion using the name of Jesus Christ falsely. Tell us about how you became a Mormon. Was that the religion of your upbringing, or did you discover this religion later on in your life? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I appreciate the way that you just began that question too, because Mormonism is so dangerous as a false religion, because it uses a lot of the same terms that Christianity uses, and that's where it just muddies the water. And so this is a topic that is extremely important. It's very important for a Christian to understand the definition of terms and to know to whom they are talking with. And so I do hope that today's conversation sheds light maybe on how to evangelize to a Mormon neighbor or friend or even family member that might listen to this show today. But yeah, no, my upbringing, I was raised in an LDS household. My family goes far back into Mormon history. I am a distant relative, but a relative nonetheless of Brigham Young.
Wow.
Have a lot of roots. However, I get that response a lot, but when you have so many wives like Brigham Young did, it's quite easy to be related to him in one way or another. Yes, I am related to Brigham Young. I also, on my father's side, was my family converted through my father's side through, I don't know how many great, 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 great grandpappies back. But the man supposedly was a very, very he did not like his neighbors, how the story goes. And his neighbor one day came over and said, hey, the Mormons are coming around knocking on people's doors. Don't open your door to them. And so my great, great, great grandpappy, who didn't like his neighbor, made sure that he would let the Mormons in. And not only that, but that the Mormons could go and preach next to the fence along his house. And through that process of hating his neighbor, he and his household was converted to Mormonism, unfortunately. And so just through that experience, that story, and then with the ties to Brigham Young himself, I eventually was born in a household of loving parents, along with four other brothers. Was raised in the LDS church for 19 years before God so graciously opened my eyes, gave me the ability to hear his word and changed my heart, bringing me under that new covenant of grace. And so, yeah, there really was a family that was very planted, very much participating in the LDS religion. And so it was something that there was no other option for me growing up, really.
And yeah, that's quite fascinating. You're the second person I met. Actually, I've never met Sandra Tanner, but I've interviewed her. Mm-hmm. So in one sense, I met her, but not face to face. But she is also in the lineage of, or the prodigy of, Brigham Young.
Yes.
And a friend of mine who lives in Idaho as well. He is a direct descendant of Joseph Smith, and actually owns a Bible owned at one time by Joseph Smith. And the Mormons, I don't know if they're still doing it, but they were aggressively trying to convert him because of those facts for quite a while. Mm. They may have given up on him, but anyway. I think it would also be good to obviously lay out a summary of what the Mormon religion is, including a summary of their core beliefs that would be at odds with the Bible, and, give us a little history lesson and theology lesson about this cult.
I love it. Yes, I would be more than happy to. One of the mighty things that I think God has done in my life in the years since being converted is he's slowly but surely allowed me to start to forget some of those things that have made it difficult for me in my learning of true Christianity. So I praise the Lord over that. But I will try my best to recall some of those doctrines and some of the history lessons. One of the blessings that I had when I was LDS is I did graduate with all 4 years of their high school seminary that they provide. And I was one of the strange kids that actually really attended. I attended actually double doses of seminary often from different teachers. So I heard the same lesson plan, but taught from two different perspectives in their doctrine. And so I, when I was being raised, my brothers who were older than me that went on a mission said about me that I would be a greater missionary than themselves. And so just with throughout the memorization of their 100 scripture masteries that they had, it's been a great blessing now how God has brought other Mormons into my life. And I've been able to chat with them in a very intimate way of knowing what they're speaking of. So Mormonism started in the cradle of the United States of some explosive heretical doctrine, as we see several false teachings, some heretical, some getting very close to the boundaries of orthodoxy during the 1800s. Joseph Smith and his family was notorious for this kind of false teaching and doctrine. However, according to Mormonism, the first vision account is where they would take somebody to. And so in the first vision account, according to what they have in their production of material, is that Joseph Smith desired to join the one and only true church through seeking out different places. He had some difficulty because there were different denominations and there were different teachings coming about. And so therefore he didn't know which one to join. And so one day he read James chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, decided it would be a good idea because he lacked knowledge to pray to God for wisdom. And he did such out in the woods with no one else around. And in the midst of being what he would describe as being attacked by the enemy in this overwhelming darkness, God himself, the Father, revealed himself, came down out of heaven and appeared before Joseph. The Father did this, and also the Son, Jesus, according to Joseph. And they told him, these two individual beings, and I would hope if anybody's listening to this that has Christian eyes and Christian lens on, this is already sounding very foreign in doctrine. Jesus and the Father told him not to join any of the churches, that they had all gone astray, that all their creeds and confessions were nothing but an abomination to the Lord, again, both to you, Chris, and myself, you know, with us believing that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to God's word alone, for his glory alone. That's some of the creeds and confessions of the even that day that Joseph Smith was saying was nothing but an abomination to the Lord. And so through this vision that Joseph Smith had, progressive time takes place and he receives more visions to the point where then he retrieves, according to himself, these golden plates, and he's able to translate those things into the Book of Mormon, and then also was able to get a hold of some papyri in that day that he translated as the Book of Abraham or the Pearl of Great Price. And then he also produced the majority of the Doctrine and Covenants, along with Brigham Young himself, who finished up the last final chapters before he died while in jail. Along with another individual there. But that is the short and sweet story of Joseph Smith, is that he was teaching that the church after Christ's ascension and the death of the apostles, that for 1800 years there was no true church on the earth, and that it was through him and his other fellow individual beings that were following him in the 1800s, they were able to restore to the earth a priesthood and a true church of Christ, and that they are now in the final dispensation. It would be some of the founding doctrines or the founding moments in Mormonism. Some of the core doctrines that distinguish them as Mormon is that they do believe in a faith plus works salvation, meaning that they believe that it is necessary and required for all true believers to be baptized, whether this is after somebody is dead and therefore is baptized in proximity, also known as baptisms for the dead. They believe that baptism is a necessary ordinance in order to be able to go to heaven or to go to the celestial kingdom, is another way that they would word it. But baptism is a necessary ordinance. They would say temple work is a necessary ordinance. Your own enduring to the end is a necessary action on the individual in order to have salvation, exaltation. And so that is a core difference and a distinction within Christianity compared to Mormonism, is that Mormonism teaches it's through works that one is saved. Another core distinction would be that they believe that in exaltation, that the Mormon can become like God, that God was once as we are. So meaning that our father was subject to another God, and then that God was subject to another God, and then that God was subject to another God, going back infinity. And then therefore everything going forward would be another affinity. There would be another procreation of gods to come. So they believe in a plurality of gods. They would say that they only worship the one God, their one father, but they believe in a plurality of gods, that they themselves can become God through these righteous works. And then they would also hold a very distinguishing factor compared to Christianity, and that is Jesus is not the one and only true God, that he is not the second person of the Trinity, but that he is a member of the Godhead, is how they would word it, saying that he is similar in substance to the Father, but distinct in being, that they are two separate beings, and that the Son came about through the Father, that he's not eternally existed with the Father, as far as what the Christian would teach it as. So those I would say are probably the three foundational differences between Mormonism and Christianity, is one being a salvation through works, two being a plurality of gods, and three, Jesus not being the one and only God for us. I think that would be the three foundational differences.
Yes, and they are huge differences. There are folks who would swear, I'm talking about Bible-believing, born-again Christians, who would swear that Mormons are their brothers in Christ because they meet them and they're such morally upright and kind and gregarious and wonderful people. Some of them are convinced, for instance, that a very well-known political figure who I even enjoy listening to, who is a Mormon who has really been gaining a growing audience of fans amongst Christians. And this individual has been declared by many to be a brother in Christ just because they find so much in common with him about morals and politics. Right at the second I'm showing my age that I have deteriorating brain because I can't remember his name. He's a very famous person. Do you know him I'm talking about?
The name is actually slipping my mind as well. I do know exactly who you're talking
white
about.
White hair. I am. He used to be on Fox News. Now he has his own network.
Glenn Beck.
Yes.
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. They in fact, I just saw an interview recently between an old friend of mine who is probably, at least his name will be easily recognized since he's a world-renowned figure, but Max Lucado. I was actually the very first person to get Max Lucado on the radio. I sold his publisher a Christmas special back in the 1990s when Max was not well known. He was kind of a rising star, but not very well known. And I loved at that time his book, God Came Near, which was about the incarnation. And I sold the publisher of that book, a one-hour Christmas special that Max narrated. And we had Christmas music interspersed in between portions of the book that he narrated. But anyway, unfortunately, Max has become more ecumenical in areas where no Christian should be, and more tolerant of homosexuality and things like that. But he was interviewed by Glenn Beck. For some reason, he is a hero of Glenn Beck. And Max repeatedly throughout the interview was identifying Glenn as his brother. This is something that that is a word that only those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ have the privilege of having as an identity, our brother or sister in Christ. And to consider and to comfort and encourage someone as by calling them your brother or sister is really a horrendous thing when that person is a perpetrator of a damning false religion. As my guest just mentioned moments ago, believe that there are innumerable gods. In fact, they have more gods than the Hindus do, because each and every one of them has an ability to achieve godhood. And of course, works righteousness and all that we will be getting into. Now, do you think that instead of identifying Mormons as polytheists, that it might be more accurate to call them henotheists? Because while... go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say I've heard that before, and I think that would be fair. It's still fundamentally polytheism.
Yes.
That they believe that there's a plurality of gods.
They just don't worship a plurality of gods.
Exactly. Yep.
Which henotheist would believe in one supreme god for them that they worship, but they do believe that there could be an infinite number of gods beside that god.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they would definitely fall into that category, and it also brings into question the immutability of God, the aseity of God, the uniqueness of God. It questions all those things that are revealed in God's word very clearly about who the being and the essence of God is. It's very clear that it's a completely different faith in a God that doesn't exist that the Mormons have. And that is the issue, is that these things are essential to Christianity. These are things that are essential to salvation. And like you said, they're essential to being able to call one another brothers or sisters in Christ. When we think of the adoption that takes place, it's through the sinner being justified in the blood of Jesus Christ that we have the premise of being able to call each other brothers and sisters. And if somebody doesn't have faith in God as the way that he has described himself to be, they are excluded from that essential of Christianity, and they therefore cannot be called brothers or sisters. Even if they have the appearance, even if they have a moral ground to stand upon, faith is only as good as the object that you put it into. I bring this a lot out when I'm talking to my Mormon friends, not brothers or sisters, but my Mormon neighbors, my LDS neighbors. If I said I had faith in Jesus Christ or in Jesus, you'd probably say that's a good thing. And every LDS person would say, yes, that's a very good thing. But if I was to tell you that the Jesus I have faith in is also my cashier at the local grocery store, and he sometimes goes by Jesus, and he's very kind, he bags my groceries up very well every single time, and I have faith in him salvifically, they'll say, no, that's not the Jesus that you should have faith in. And I respond and say, that's the exact argument that I'm making for you, is that you have a faith in a Jesus that cannot save. And according to Jesus, the Jesus that you're saying that you supposedly have faith in, Jesus said, unless you believe I am, you shall die in your sins. And you are denying Jesus as the one and only God that is from everlasting to everlasting, paying the price of our sins upon the cross, is what you are denying. And so therefore, it's just as good as placing faith in that grocery store clerk as you are in this fake historical figure that you are trying to place your faith into. It will not save you.
And by the way, folks, just to clarify, I don't believe Mormons, unless my guest wants to correct me, I don't believe that they identify themselves as polytheists or henotheists, but that is an accurate description of them nonetheless.
Yeah.
We're going to our first commercial break, and when we come back, I'd like you to get more detailed about the moment the light switch went on as far as you recognizing mm-hmm. this is a false religion that you were in, or of the gradual process, either way, which it occurred. We know that regeneration is instantaneous and the justification is instantaneous, but what is different about all of us in our journey when we have been saved by the one true Christ and the one true gospel is that some just immediately abandon their idols and their false religions and their at least begin the journey of their repentance from their sin.
Yes.
And then some, it's a gradual breaking down of understanding. But we'll get into that in more detail when we come back. If you have a question of your own that you'd like to ask my guest today, Braden Patterson, about Mormonism, about his conversion specifically, to not only Christianity, but also to Reformed Baptist theology. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a very personal and private matter. Let's say you are a Mormon and you're listening, and you are starting to doubt the religion that you're in. You're starting to get cracks in the foundation of the very faith that you once cherished. and you don't want to identify yourself publicly at this point. Well, that's understandable. And there may be other reasons why you would want to remain anonymous as well. But if it's a general question about Mormonism, about biblical theology, about church history in regard to this topic, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org.
That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please do not forget, folks, if you are considering purchasing jewelry for a Valentine's Day gift, which will be here before your moment, before you know it, I should say, and perhaps you're just purchasing something for yourself, or you're in the market to. Or perhaps you are getting engaged and you want to get the perfect engagement ring customized. Or if you want to purchase a gift of jewelry more quickly and purchase something they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com. Well, whatever the case may be, please go to royaldiadem.com soon if you have any intention to purchase jewelry. because they are still offering to us in 2024 for a limited time. We have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this, but they're still offering us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase. So please go to royaldiadem.com soon and get the ball rolling on your purchase and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so that we will be guaranteed to receive 100% of the profits from that sale. That's royaldiadem.com. We're now back with my guest today, who, if you just tuned in, he is a former Mormon who came to the true knowledge of the true Jesus Christ, of the true scriptures, by grace alone, through faith alone. And this dear brother is Braden Patterson, pastor of Valley Baptist Church in Hagerman, Idaho. He's also one of the speakers at the upcoming Open Air Theology Conference this February in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Before we continue on with the theme of our discussion, which is your conversion out of Mormonism, why don't you tell us a bit about this conference, this Open Air Theology Conference, where my friend James White and a roster of other fine ministers are also speaking.
Yeah, I would love to. I would say, are you even Reformed if you're not going to be at this conference? And I only say that as a joke, of course. It's going to be an absolute blessing. The last conference that we held this last year now, in the year of 2023, I was able to attend that and was one of the speakers there. And the fellowship was phenomenal. It was out of this world. It was truly a great blessing. There wasn't a sermon that was given that I didn't have tears running down my face on. It was some of the most powerful moments of my life, I think, for preaching. So I would really encourage anybody to come to it. It's going to be February 22nd to the 24th, as you said, in Tullahoma, Tennessee. It's going to be on the topic of why Calvinism. The topic that I'll be preaching on with that topic itself is going to be on from the old to the new covenant and how Calvinism is seen within those things. And so I'm so excited to be preaching on that topic. We have several, last year we had a little bit less well-known preachers. This year we have an intermingling, I would say, of those things. I'm definitely on the side of not very well-known, but I'm excited to be able to fellowship along with Sam Waldron, as you mentioned, James White, and then again, all the brothers that are going to be there. It's going to be truly a phenomenal conference. So please check it out. You can find your tickets at openairtheology.com, I believe it is. I don't know if it's .org or .com, but if you Google Open Air Theology, it should be one of the very first links. Definitely purchase a ticket, and I really look forward to meeting you there and fellowshipping and worshiping God with you there. It should be a great time to discuss the doctrines of grace and very applicable ways about how you yourself as a Christian can glorify God, advance his kingdom, and just have assurance in what Christ has done for you.
And also the church that is hosting this conference, the church pastored by Jeffrey Rice, who also owns Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebonding. The church website is covenantrbctn.com, covenantrbc for Reformed Baptist Church, tn for Tennessee.com. That's covenantrbctn.com. Don't be shocked when you log into that website and see a photo of Pastor Jeff Rice, because he looks exactly like an Eastern Orthodox priest in this photo. But he is not. I can assure you he is a confessional Reformed Baptist.
Yeah, he's a dear brother in Christ.
Yes, he is.
Definitely go check him out and check out that church. And I would encourage anybody that lives in Tullahoma, Tennessee, or nearby areas to go check out that church. That is a preaching post that seeks to herald the good news in marvelous ways. So definitely go check out that church if you live in that area.
And can you remind us of the dates one more time in February?
Yeah, so it'll be February 22nd to the 24th. On the 21st of that month as well, there'll be a pre-conference where they'll be discussing the dangers of full preterism, So they'll be discussing why that's heretical and how to have a proper exegesis. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really hoping to make it to that portion of the conference as well. And then maybe also to mention on that, so the 22nd to the 24th, the conference itself, the final day, will also be having a debate between, I cannot pronounce the gentleman's last name, so I would apologize to him if he hears this, but his name's Jason. And between him and James White on Calvinism. And so it'll be a real blessing. I believe Jason, and I hope I'm not misrepresenting him, I believe he's a provisionist. And so it should be a wonderful time just to hear those two individuals discuss the doctrines of grace in a debate format.
I think it's specifically on definite atonement, isn't it?
It is, yes, sir. Yep.
Which is also known as particular redemption and limited atonement. And even though now in the 21st century, Arminians are using the word or phrase substitutionary atonement, they really cannot logically and consistently use that term to define their understanding of the atonement.
Yes.
It's really a Calvinistic phrase and understanding. And I did look up the website for Open Air Theology. It is openairtheology.com.
Okay.
We are now going to delve into, in more detail, the way that God began to put cracks in the foundation of your beloved Mormon faith. Tell us in more details about what specifically were these biblical truths that were haunting you, and how the Lord actually brought these truths to your attention.
Yeah. I would go back to some of the statements that you were making before the break, that even though my conversion is unique in what God called me out of, you know, it always depends upon him having foreknowledge, predestinating, calling, justifying, and glorifying the believer. And so in that way, my story is very the normative, but it's also very particular to me and very special to myself and what he did call me out of, as you made mention of. I was raised in a loving LDS household. I was whatever the listeners are picturing as what a Mormon looks like, what an LDS member looks like, an LDS missionary. That is what I appeared as. So I'm just as when you say the Gerber baby, everybody knows what the Gerber baby looks like. When you say LDS member, whatever is pictured in your mind, that was me. I was as true-blooded Mormon as you possibly could get. I would go to the LDS stake centers and to the LDS conferences, travel for those things. I was very ingrained in Mormonism. As I said earlier, loved seminary, graduated with all the 4 years with the 100 Scripture Masteries, was getting ready to go on my mission, baptized at age 8. All that kind of stuff. And so I was very, very ingrained in it. If you were to ask me moments before I was to leave the LDS church, if I would ever leave, I would tell you absolutely not. And that it was the only true church is what my conviction was. But that was based off of feelings, not off of the transcendent truth of who Christ is. And so that's where everything would fall apart for me. And so getting into that story, I was preparing to go on my LDS mission. I was getting my vaccinations records and everything taken care of in preparation for that mission call. I was at the age 19 at the time. It was right in the transitional period when the prophet changed the age for missionaries to go on their mission from 19 to 18. And so they just changed it. I had just turned 19. And so I was preparing for all those things. And I had met a lovely lady at the time who became my girlfriend. And a little bit of a spoiler alert, she became my wife and the mother of our three sons, Emily. And so I met her, very much was just captivated by her personality, her loveliness, everything that is Emily, my wife. And my family, rightly so, and myself included, started putting the pressure on that if I didn't baptize her, that she would not wait for me on a mission. And so about a month or two after meeting her and dating her in that preparatory period of going on that mission, I gave her a Book of Mormon. I had a desire to baptize her. And in my mind, if anybody was going to tell her about Joseph Smith temples or the LDS religion, I was the one to do it. I was the most educated that I knew. I was the most earnest about doing it. I was one that would actually go and knock on people's doors before I was on my mission to go and tell them about Mormonism. I was very peculiar in that way. And so very, very, very much felt I was prepared to share that with her. And so gave her a Book of Mormon. The next night I sat with her in her driveway for roughly an hour to 2 hours, where I just poured out my entire heart to her. And in that, I talked about the necessity of prophets. I talked to her about the plan of happiness or the plan of salvation. I gave to her the reason why Joseph Smith was a prophet, the new revelation of the Book of Mormon, the reasons for why priesthood was essential, all these things. And in the ending of that conversation, I bore my testimony to her, and I thought to myself that there was no better way to tell anybody about the LDS gospel other than the way that I just did it. And I knew it to be true in my mind, in my heart. And in that process, my wife now, but at the time, my girlfriend, Emily, sat very patiently and quietly and listened very attentively to everything I said. And she looked over at me, and I thought after telling her that I was going to baptize her, and the next day I was going to baptize her family. That's how powerful the message I thought was. And she looked at me and she said, "That's stupid."
Sorry about that.
No, it's the correct reaction to have. The strike in my pride was sure, and the grace of our Lord started to call me, I would argue, in that moment. It went from I knew everything to be true, that I would become a God one day like our God currently, and that I would be able to do exactly what my Father in heaven, my Heavenly Father, was doing at that moment. And it went from that in my mind being true to complete silliness and foolishness, stupidity. My wife said it correctly. That was dumb. That was stupid for me to say and believe such a thing. And so the conversation that night ended completely with my wife. We parted our ways very awkwardly, but I'm very thankful for my wife saying the truth that time.
Now, was she was she a born again believer?
Yeah, she wasn't at the time. Actually, she was raised Catholic, and I would say she was not a practicing Catholic to what many Catholics would be, but she knew enough to be dangerous. She knew enough to be dangerous. And so the Lord, from that moment on, I opened up God's word to see if anything that I told her in its fullness and its completeness was true in the Bible, because I was very adamant about proving her wrong. And now fast forward many years later to today, I have not found one of the doctrines that I told her that night in its fullness to be according to God's word.
In fact, we have to go to our, have to go to our midway break right now, and you can pick up where you left off.
Oh, yes.
If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And when you can't buy whatever they're selling, please, at least, at the very least, do something everybody can do if you really love the show. Contact as many of our advertisers as possible and simply say, "Thank you so much for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio." That should go a long way to keep them satisfied that their money is well spent. And also, as I said, send in your questions to my guest, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Please do not go away.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's LIYFC.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please do not forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a book sales crisis still. And I'm asking you, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, please come to the rescue of one of our most important advertisers whose funding helps to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in existence. Please go to solid-ground-books.com today. And if you've never purchased from them before, make today your first purchase ever. And if you purchase frequently from them, if you're a regular customer, make today your largest purchase ever, if you can afford to do so, at solid-ground-books.com. And I would highly recommend, because of the topic we are addressing today, that you purchase a couple of books by my dear friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries that are available from solid-ground-books.com. One of them is titled, "Is the Mormon My Brother? Discerning the differences between Mormonism and Christianity." That's "Is the Mormon My Brother?" And the other book by Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is Letters to a Mormon Elder. So I would include that in your order, and I'm hoping you buy a lot of other books that solid-ground-books.com publishes, but please make sure you include those in your shopping cart if you don't already own those, or buy them for somebody else to give away, especially if you have Mormon friends and loved ones to give to them. But always remember that you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by purchasing books from one of our most important advertisers. You're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature, dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current authors as the aforementioned Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnes and of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest today, I have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address from your local post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, professional private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, remember that I never want anybody in my audience giving less money to the church where you are a member than you normally give that church on the Lord's Day. In order to give us a financial gift, please never, ever do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that the primary ways we are supposed to be using the money with which God has blessed us, the primary ways are to support our church and our family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to support your church and your family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com if you really love the show, and click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Also, last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically sound, theologically solid church like Valley Baptist Church in Hagerman, Idaho, well, please, I'm urging you to send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the world find churches that are sound, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too. If you are without a solid church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send a question to my guest today, Braden Patterson, pastor of Valley Baptist Church of Hagerman, Idaho. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us a first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Going back to where we left off, you were talking about how your wife, who is not yet born again, still knew enough about the Bible to recognize that this religion that you were lovingly attempting to convert her and her family to was indeed not only a false religion, but a stupid one. And I'm sorry for our listeners who are Mormon who are going to be offended by that, but that's just the history of this particular event between my guest and his then girlfriend, now wife. So yep. If you could please pick up where you left off.
I think the peculiarness of the story of mine is that it's always a good thing to sometimes be bluntly honest with somebody. And so that's if you are feeling convicted as a Christian to tell somebody the truth, whatever that might entail, I definitely would encourage somebody to do such, because you never know what it might be calling them out of. So to go back to my story is that after my wife, at the time girlfriend, said that to me, in a very loving way that she would, it began a twirling effect of opening my eyes. And it was like a semi truck hit me right then and there, that what I had just told her was true to now, I need to go search these things out. In the following month from that, I was very challenged. I was challenged beyond what I'd ever been challenged before. And from looking into things and being very confused, the best way I could do it is I just felt like I was blind. I felt like somebody had finally told me that the vision I was having was actually blindness. And trying my hardest to find resources online and trying to sift through things, there were things that were still very challenging to myself. And several of those things were, how can Jesus be God? Jesus can't be God is what was going through my mind. And so through some discussion with my girlfriend, some challenges that came along with my personal life, we decided to go to a Christian church. And so as most people would, you go to the biggest church, which is sometimes not always the best. But we went to the biggest church in the area that I lived, which was Boise, Idaho at the time.
And that certainly could not have been a Reformed Baptist church if it's the biggest church.
It was not a Reformed Baptist church. No. But interestingly enough, through the Lord's providence, the very first thing that they were advertising for that church service was for a new Bible study that had just recently started, which was called Leaving Mormonism for Christ. And so from that, my girlfriend Emily and I, we said, that is where we have to go. And so we traveled some distance to get to this Bible study that week. During that week, I believe it was a Wednesday. And we traveled, we show up to this random person's house that we've never met before. And we walk in, and one of the very first Bible studies, I think it was even the very first one, they were doing a lesson on how to evangelize to LDS members. And so they wanted to do a role-playing situation. And so somebody had to volunteer to be the Christian that was doing the evangelism. That was a dear brother in Christ named Nathan. Nathan Anderson volunteered to be the Christian that would evangelize. And then they needed somebody to play the Mormon. And I raised my hand and I said, if anybody could do this, it's going to be me. In fact, this Christian that's evangelizing to me in this Bible study, role-playing sessions, he might even become Mormon after I'm done talking to him. That's how confident I was going into even this little role-playing game. And in it, this gentleman, Nathan, read John 1:1. And it was in him reading that, it all of a sudden clicked for me. I couldn't deny Jesus as my Lord and my God and my Savior, who died for me and rose again on the third day. And it was from that moment forward that it seemed like the gates of grace just swung open. And since then, God has placed wonderful men in my life that have helped disciple me tremendously, that have helped me spiritually, theologically, doctrinally, in churches, outside of churches. It's been absolutely wonderful right out of the gate. So about a week after that, my wife, I would say, was then experienced being born again and having faith in Christ as well. She was read 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That was when she recognized Christ and his penile substitutionary atonement for us. So just tremendous things that happened in that Bible study. It was really remarkable. But Matt Slick of carm.org.
Christian, oh, yeah. I just had him on the show not long ago.
Yes, you did. So he was actually he came to the very next Bible study there at that house. And wow. So immediately I met him. He started discipling me. I was able to attend his online school that he does, and he was doing one-on-one stuff with me as far as teaching me just different doctrines in the Bible. And so that was right out of the gate, Christianity 101, learning terms, definitions, and having somebody that I could connect with that was going to help me sift through this muddiness of the water that Mormonism had created in my mind. From there, after knowing him and being discipled by him for some time, I cannot remember exactly how long it was, but just a couple of years had gone by of knowing him. My wife and I obtained a job in Twin Falls, Idaho, moved over there, immediately was planted in another great Reformed Baptist church called Eastside Baptist Church with the pastor, Paul Thompson. Immediately was loved on by him and the congregation of Eastside. And I approached Paul and said, Paul, I feel the call to become a pastor. I feel that that's where the Lord is leading me and my ability to glorify him. And so as the good pastor that he is, he started to disciple me, which led to eventually being ordained and licensed out of Eastside Baptist Church. And then from there, I was called to Valley Baptist Church and have been able to serve the Lord since. And so it's been truly a blessing to be strengthened in my knowledge of the Lord. And as previously said, you know, being born again, it was all glory to God. It was something that in my deadness of my sin, there is no way that anyone could have convinced me out of Mormonism. There's no way that somebody could have convinced me to have faith in the biblical Christ unless it was God himself that was doing it. And so I look back at all the times of having Christians talk to me, and I value that beyond belief. Whether it was in second grade and having right after I'd been baptized and me going into school as I would, as the good Mormon I was, and telling everybody that I was baptized and that I now had the Holy Spirit and that they too needed to be baptized in the Mormon church. There was a little girl who said, "Nope, I know Jesus, and that's enough."
Hallelujah.
And even from, that was the first example of having a Christian evangelize to me. And I still, I wish I knew that little girl's name and thank her for that.
Amen.
To going to temple services, to the temple to go walk through before they were dedicated, and having Matt Slick, before I knew who Matt Slick was, discuss doctrine with my family as we were in line going into the temple, being challenged by the things that he was saying, and me considering, why is it that my family cannot respond to this man's claims? And being disturbed by that at a very young age, to even finding Matt Slick's, the Karm.org gospel tracts that he would go into Deseret Book and Boise and put into the Book of Mormons, and me finding one when I was looking at obtaining a quad, is what they would call it, looking at obtaining a Book of Mormon for myself, and finding that gospel track in there and seeing how my mom reacted to pretty upset about the idea of a Christian, a person putting anti-Mormon literature into a Book of Mormon. I look at all those examples and I'm so thankful for those seeds that were planted over time. And eventually that took root and sprouted and it is by the grace of the Lord and his growth in my life that I know him and profess him as such today. And then from there, to be able to have fellowship with great brothers in the faith like Jeff Rice and Haps Addison and just the remarkableness that it is to know Christ. It's been a wonderful thing. And then on top of that, to be reformed and be a part of, to hold to the 1689, it's been wonderful.
Amen. And before I go to any of my listener questions, there is a special member of our audience whose birthday it is today. I want to wish Bronnie Vanderwerker a happy birthday. And Bronnie is the wife of Sterling Vanderwerker, the owner of RoyalDiadem.com, whose ad you heard in the beginning of the program, a very important advertiser with Iron Trip and Zion Radio. So we want to wish Bronnie, his wife, a happy birthday. As Sterling put it he wanted me to welcome Bronnie into Medicare. So since I'm saying that, I'm also going to be announcing soon the date and location of Sterling's funeral. That was Sterling's idea, Bronnie, not mine. But I can assure you that Bronnie Vanderwerker is quite a beautiful woman and looks like she's got at least 20 more years before she should be on Medicare. But anyway, I hope that you have a great one, Bronnie, and I wish I was there to celebrate with you and Sterling. Now we are going to go to some of our listener questions who are actually addressing the subject at hand. And I'm going to, unlike what I normally do, I'm going to read his full name because he's a dear friend. He's a pastor of a solid church, and he's also one of the speakers at the Open Air Theology Conference where my guest is speaking, Claude Ramsey of Reformata Baptist Church there in...
Dear brother in Christ.
Yeah, in
yes.
Tennessee. And let's see. Pastor Claude Ramsey says, I appreciate Iron Sharpens Iron and you, Mr. Arnzen. Oh, thank you very much, Claude. My question for Braden is, what would be the best steps for Christians to learn about Mormonism? And also, would you care to share the particular portion of your testimony? Oh, he already, this is where you already brought up where you and your wife were dating. He already brought that up, as you likely have heard, Claude. But anyway, you can go on with the first part of his question. The best steps for Christian to learn about Mormonism. Well, I know before my guest answers, you can get those books by James White, which are available from solid-ground-books.com. I do not care about crass commercialism when a company and ministry is keeping this show on the air financially. But solid-ground-books.com carries the books, Is the Mormon My Brother? And by the way, the answer to that question that Dr. White provides is no. And also Letters to a Mormon Elder, which are at solid-ground-books.com. But what else can you tell Pastor Claude Ramsey about learning about Mormonism?
Yeah, I love Brother Claude. He's a wonderful dear brother in Christ, as I said. You know, I would be a big proponent that a lot of Christians, when it comes to wanting to evangelize to LDS individuals, they typically go to the black, what I would refer to as the black stains of the religion, which are relatively easy to find and to articulate to a LDS member, such as some of their dark history, some of the moments, the Mountain Meadows Massacre, some of the polygamy with Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. These things are, or even the translation of the Book of Mormon, how that came about in a hat. These things are very easy to show. They're very quick to bring about, especially in the age that we live in with the phones. However, I highly discourage any Christian to think that sharing such a thing and then walking away from a conversation has done any good. Oftentimes when a Mormon member leaves the LDS church, they end up leaving and becoming an atheist or an agnostic. And it's often because they have not been told the true salvation that is in the true Christ, and that is him living a perfect life, dying the death that they deserve, and being buried and rising again on the third day, and that it is through his work completely that we are saved, not anything of ourselves, unless Christ died needlessly, Galatians 2:21. The issue is that those things are so easy to have, and Mormons will, and I've had this experience happen to me quite literally, adult Mormons will plug their ears and say la 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 as you say those things to them. All that we've done is we've given them something that tries to draw them out of a religion without giving them the answer to salvation. What is the necessary means of salvation? And so I would argue the best place for a Christian to study Mormonism or to study against Mormonism is to go to God's word itself and to study and saturate yourself in the word. Be prepared always to give a defense for the faith that you have. And why I say that is for somebody, for a counterfeit bill, people that work in counterfeiting things, the way that the way that you can tell a real dollar bill from a fake one is that you need to study the real one first. You need to know completely what the real one is to identify which is false in the counterfeit product. And so study God's word. Study it, know it, know the context of things, know the way to articulate them to your friends and family. And then from there, I would encourage any Christian to study the LDS.org's material. And the reason I say that is if you bring up things from websites that the Mormon has never heard of, they'll just say that's anti-Mormon doctrine. Whether it's true or whether it's not, they will plug their ears and say the la, 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 la stuff because they see that as something that is hurting the LDS religion itself. And so they don't want to hear it. But if you're able to study, there's on the LDS website, LDS.org, if you're able to go on there and show them from there that they have a false gospel, it's so easy to and they'll accept it. In fact, if you just Google Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what is the gospel? On one of the very first links that you would look in, I have it pulled up right here. It says, in its fullness, the gospel includes all the doctrines, principles, laws, ordinances, and covenants necessary for us to be exalted in the celestial kingdom. The Savior has promised that if we endure to the end, faithfully living the gospel, he will hold us guiltless before the Father at the final judgment. So according to the LDS, they're saying it is through Christ plus what we do, our endurance, our obedience, that we are saved. That's what their definition of the gospel is, according to their website. And then from there, you can show them the severity that Paul himself has put forth in Galatians chapter 1, 8, and 9, that if anybody comes and preaches the gospel, whether it's an angel or another man that's contrary to the one that ye have yet received, let him be accursed, let him be anathema. And showing that there's only one gospel. And what is that one gospel? Well, it's the word, God, the one that we have sinned against, him coming, dying for us, living for us, dying for us, and then rising again, that we are able to have forgiveness, and show them the difference between those two different gospels, which one is really not a gospel, but is rather trodding upon the blood of Christ in a very blasphemous way. I that would be my first place to go. Another place for other listeners, I do have a YouTube channel called Reformed Ex Mormon. I do answer a lot of things on there. And so that would be a helpful resource. Like you said, Chris, going and checking out some of the things from James White is a phenomenal resource. Karm.org, another great resource. There's several places to go, but I would urge the Christian to enter any conversation with a Mormon by presenting them what the gospel is and why the LDS have a false gospel, a false Jesus, and a false God, going back to those three core distinctions between Mormonism and Christianity.
And let me plug the church of my dear friend, Pastor Claude Ramsey, since it is a church definitely worth recommending, a church that I had the privilege of visiting there in Knoxville, Tennessee, not long ago. The church is Reformata Baptist Church, and that is spelled with a D-A at the end, if you're wondering. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's a T. I'm sorry. A T-A at the end, Reformata Baptist Church, or if I had a church, it'd be called Reformada Baptist Church, but this is Reformata Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. They do not have a website of their own, but they do have a Facebook page. And Pastor Claude Ramsey is also the host of the Here I Stand Theology podcast. And you can find that not only on Facebook, but at the Here I Stand Theology podcast.buzzsprout.com, BUZZsprout.com. That's the Here I Stand Theology podcast.buzzsprout.com. And by the way, folks, Pastor Claude Ramsey is going to be my guest once again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the not-so-distant future. And keep listening to this program for updates. Oh, it's on the 19th of January. I'm looking at it right now. That's Friday, the 19th of January, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Let's see here. We have Roy in Electric City, Washington. I'm wondering if that city lives up to its name. Conjures up all kinds of exciting notions in your head. But Roy in Electric City, Washington asks, do you think that a Mormon might be a truly regenerate brother or sister in Christ, even while in that false religion?
That is a great question. It wouldn't be the normative thing for sure. I think that there's a certain level at which somebody might be ignorant to the core distinctions of Mormonism, and therefore, I think by definition, wouldn't be a Mormon. But
they might think they're a Mormon.
They might think they're a Mormon.
They might even be going to the Ward Chapel, and they might, you know, have the Book of Mormon that they read and the Pearl of Great Price and the Doctrine and Covenants and all that stuff. But they actually believe in the true gospel in spite of the false teaching of the Mormon Church. And they also are monotheists, not polytheists, and on and on.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be the same thing for maybe even the non-regulative, seeing somebody in the Catholic Church, right? Somebody that might not fully understand that, which is in the Catholic religion, the Roman Catholic religion, but they would profess the essentials of Christianity, assuredly, right? That they've been born again, because we know no one can enter into the kingdom of God unless they're born again. So this individual has to be born again. We would say that they would confess Jesus as both God fully and truly and man truly and fully, the hypostatic union. You would confess the Trinity, that there's only one God in being, three in persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You would look and say that Jesus was born of a virgin. You would say, as Chris already said, monotheism, that there's one God from everlasting to everlasting. We would confess, that individual would need to confess according to the word of God has shown to us. That it is a man is justified apart from the works of the law, but only through faith in Christ. That would come from Romans. Even I have it open here, Romans chapter 3, verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Galatians chapter 2. Let me turn to it before I misquote it for us. But Galatians chapter 2. Let's open up here.
And I'll give my email address again while you're looking that up. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence.
So Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then if you go down to verse 21, for I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. When we think about even Matthew chapter 7, there will be many on the last day that say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done all these many mighty miracles in your name? I pause there and I would say to anybody that thinks about this, that we would look and say that those appear to be good works, prophesying, casting out demons, many mighty miracles in the name of Jesus. That appears to be a great good work. But the issue is that these people are professing salvation based off of their actions rather than the finished work of Christ. And therefore, Jesus in the very next verse says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And so absolutely, there could be somebody within the Mormon church that is regenerate, that looks to the finished work of Christ on the cross, that know him as our Lord and our God. These things could be true. However, I do not think that a Mormon that is going to a Mormon church that knows the more Mormon distinctives will continue to go to such a church. Likewise with the Catholic, they will not continue to go to the Catholic church if they know that the Catholic church is teaching something contrary to what the gospel is.
If anybody wants to look up the testimony of a friend of mine who's now in eternity with Christ, William Norman Grigg, G-R-I-G-G, former senior editor of the New American Magazine, he gives his testimony of leaving Mormonism and becoming a born-again believer by the grace and mercy of Christ. And he, after becoming born again out of fear of losing his wife and family, remained in the LDS Church, and he did admit on my program that that was not the right thing to do, but he remained in the LDS cult for well over a decade after becoming born again. He said he was teaching true biblical doctrine, and he wasn't. It was going over the heads of his leaders, so he was never stopped. It's amazing that he got away with that. But he still nonetheless remained in there for well over a decade after becoming saved, and eventually his whole family, got, thanks be to God, were born again, and all left.
Wonderful.
But yeah, those things are possible. There's all kinds of scenarios. I mean, technically, somebody could be an Orthodox Jewish family and have privately a true understanding of Christ and the gospel and be saved, and hide that, and continue on and going to the synagogue and stuff. Now, that is not a right thing to do, but it is technically possible that that could happen, things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We have to go to our final break, and we do have some questions from listeners left. We have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, and some others. So be patient with us, but don't go away, because we will be right back after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a Matai in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Welcome back. And we have a question, as I said before, from Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. Hello, Braden and Chris. I've had only a couple of opportunities to speak to Mormons and present the true gospel of Jesus Christ. One verse that I offer to them, as well as Jehovah's Witnesses and Roman Catholics, is James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of all. They usually just ignore it and move on. How does the Mormon deal with this verse?
Great question. I'm thankful to hear that somebody goes to James chapter 2, particularly because that's a place that a Mormon would most likely try to take a Christian. The reason being is James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is right. dead by itself. And so, yeah, Cindy, you are taking them to the context of that, right? That we are dead in our sins, that if we have broken one of God's law, which we all have, we are eternally condemned before a mighty and holy just God. And so taking somebody to that and showing them our need for a savior is so important. And then from there, you can show how James is arguing against, Christians, that are saying, hey, I have faith in Jesus, but yet you don't actually show your faith, that it's a faith that's actually just dead. It's not a real faith that actually produces works for the glory of God. And so that's a wonderful place to take somebody. It's one that is in the favor of Christians, not the LDS. When you look at it, it's not talking about justification between God and man in a vertical sense. It's talking about justification between believer and believer, that James is saying, I will show the other believer in Christ my faith through what I do. And then the actions that James references, whether it's Abraham offering his son Isaac, if a Mormon takes you there and says, hey, you see, faith is always something that you have to have works in order to be justified before God. And my question to them is, well, first of all, Genesis 15 and 17 come before Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham, or 21, which is offering up Isaac. So Abraham was already declared legally righteous, reckoned with righteousness before that chapter of him offering up his son Isaac. And if James chapter 2 is the framework of how a man is justified by works, then I ask, well, I have my son Shepherd. Should I go offer my son Shepherd tonight to God? Because that's the example that James chapter 2 shows for a man being justified. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, no, don't do that. And I say, well, you're not being very consistent then in your understanding of this this Bible verse then. And so it's talking about justification between man and man. Mm-hmm. It's talking about our need of a savior that is in Jesus Christ, because we're all guilty under God's law. And so I think that that's a great place. And again, we have to understand, according to the doctrines of grace, which is the biblical view on these things, John chapter 6, that these people, if you speak James chapter 2 to them, if they have ears that can hear, they will come. The Father will draw them. That the sheep, we can rest our head assuredly that when we proclaim Christ, it's to his glory, and that his sheep will hear his voice and will come to him. And so whether or not we can push and plant those seeds, we have to recognize that it's God doing the work. And so I would encourage you, Cindy, to keep on doing such, keep on glorifying God, keep on preaching Christ crucified, and let him do the work that he does.
I can clearly remember one of my former pastors, Mike Gadosh of Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, Long Island, and later Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, when he was preaching a series on James, which he called The Wake Up Call. He said, James must have been from Missouri, because Missouri is the show me state. And basically what he was intending by that epistle was, you say you have faith in Christ. Well, show me, where's the evidence, And these false religions try to twist it into something that was never intended by James, nor by the Holy Spirit who breathed those truths out.
Precisely. Yeah, Romans chapter 4, it quotes the same place that James chapter 2 does. And Romans 4 says that we are only justified by faith, like Abraham was. And that's, if you were to ask Abraham, how do you know you're saved? He would say, I was declared legally right. I was reckoned with righteousness. But if you were to ask Isaac, how do you know your father was saved? He would say, well, you see, the faith that my father professed, he actually executed one day when he took me up a hill to offer me up,
right,
is what he would say. And so, yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Well, sorry, we don't have time for any more listener questions, because I want my guest to summarize what he most wants etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, and we only have a couple of minutes. So if you could do that.
Yeah, I would really lean on a recent message I gave. It was actually our Christmas Eve message. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, it says that that the angel speaks to Mary and says, you shall name him Jesus, for he shall save his people. And in verse 23, it says that he will be called Emmanuel, which is translated as to mean God with us. It is God and God alone that we as his creation have sinned against our creator. And in order for forgiveness to be forgiveness, in order for Jesus to actually save his people, it is God who became flesh, humbling himself. That Philippians chapter 2 picture that we see of Christ, he who existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a man, being made under the law, humbling himself to death, even to death upon a cross. And so it is through the word tabernacling a perfect life, him dying for you and I substitutionarily, that you and I are able to live again. And when he rose from the grave, everything that he said, it validated the titles, the claims, the actions, the names of Christ. It validated it all. And that is including the I am statement from John chapter 8. Have faith in him, take courage in that, and know that you have assurance there through that perfect lamb that was sacrificed for you and I.
Well, don't forget the website for Valley Baptist Church in Hagerstown. Could you repeat that one more time, brother?
Yeah, so please go, definitely go to Facebook right now. I'm not sure if our website is currently up right now. So go to Facebook, check out Valley Baptist Church in Hagerman, Idaho. It's a southern Idaho city. If you live in the area, I would really encourage you to come worship with us if you don't have a biblical church that you're already a part of. Look me up on Reformed Ex Mormon. Go buy your tickets through openairtheology.com. I hope to see you February 22nd to the 24th at the Y Calvinism Conference. And please consider supporting Brother Chris here. I know he's been saying that several times throughout this this show that he's doing right now. He is doing a mighty work to advance the kingdom of God. And so please lift him up in those ways.
And I hope that everyone always remembers for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.